So last week we talked about vision, and we talked about seeing God's way, having His vision in our hearts. And we stated the importance of having a vision of what God desires for us individually and as church. It's important that we know God's vision for us. And it takes faith to see that vision and courage to follow it through. That vision will change our lives, and it will change the lives of others. We stated that if it's God's placed vision in our hearts, then it's God's placed victory in our lives. And if you missed that, the message is online. You can go to our website and listen to that. Last week we talked about Thomas Edison. Remember back in 1879, and he invented the light bulb. But do you know that he took him 1,000 times to get the light bulb right? 1,000 times. And when, after he invented the light bulb, a reporter came to him and asked him, what does it feel like to have failed 1,000 times? And he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. It took 1,000 steps to invent the light bulb. I didn't fail 1,000 times. It took 1,000 steps to invent the light bulb. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when God places a vision in our hearts, it doesn't come to pass like right now? It takes steps. It takes time before it comes to reality. We have a friend on the island, and her name's Myrtle. And she knew this lady, and God had given a vision to her to reach out to this lady and lead her to the Lord. And she really believed that this lady was going to come to know Jesus. So she started visiting this lady, and Myrtle would invite her over to her house, and they would have tea together, and they would talk, and she would share her story of faith with her. And after a year, nothing, absolutely nothing. This lady's heart was still as hard as it was before. After 2 years, still nothing. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, nothing. But after 9 years, the lady finally accepted Jesus into her heart. The vision came to reality, but it took 9 years before God reached into this lady's life. Thomas Edison could have given up after 499 times of trying to make the light bulb work. Myrtle could have given up after 1 year or 2 years or 8 years and said, what's the point? But they had determination, and they knew that they had to have determination to see the vision fulfilled. It wasn't going to happen overnight. And the same with us. We need that determination. It has been stated that nothing in the world can replace determination. A writer wrote that talents cannot replace determination, for there are many in the world with great talents who are unsuccessful. Intelligence will not replace determination, for the world is full of educated people who have not gone very far. We need that stick-to-itness, that determination to see God's vision come to fulfillment. So, vision is allowing God's vision in us is seeing beyond the majority. Remember, we talked about seeing beyond the majority. It's seeing God's presence and power in the situation that He has placed us in. We need to view the situation, the vision, the way God sees it. God sees things way different than we do. Listen to the difference between our thoughts and God's thoughts, His ways and our ways. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 reveals God saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways and His thoughts are way different than ours. Like, God's thought was that this lady would take 9 years to process and come to know him. Our thoughts are, God, I'll just go and share the gospel, my story, my witness, my testimony with the lady, and she'll come to know it, and that'll be it. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it takes about 8 or 9 or 10 times for a person to hear the story before they start to grasp it. God's ways are higher and wiser than ours. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read King Saul has failed as the king. He was the king of Israel, and he's failed as the king. And he's blowing it so badly that God comes to his prophet Samuel and says, look, I want you to go to the town where Jesse lives, and I want you to have a banquet there, and I want you to anoint one of his sons as king. Now, Jesse had, I think it was 7 or 8 sons. Anyhow, Samuel gets there. He has a banquet, and Jesse's there. And he says to Jesse, I want you to bring your sons forward. And so, of course, you always bring the firstborn forward first. And Samuel looks at Jesse's firstborn son, Eliab, and presumes that this is God's king. This is the one God is going to anoint because he's tall, he's handsome, he's strong. He's everything a king could possibly be. It's got to be him. Not so. Listen to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So if you follow the account, you find out that all the sons come before, and David, the youngest, the scrawniest, the shepherd, becomes the king. Because God's way, his vision, his thoughts are way different than ours. And we need to grasp that, and we need to catch God's vision by faith. See, my friend Myrtle, she could have said, well, I've been reaching out to this lady for a year, and she's just the same. She's pretty hard to the gospel, so maybe I should stop and do something else. I mean, there's lots of other people out there that need the gospel. Maybe I should, you know. But she knew that God had given her a vision. And she continued to pray, and she continued to reach out. I mean, she could have said, look, God, it's only one lady. There's lots more. But God had given her a vision. We think a year is long enough, and it's only one person. But God sees the persons as his. He wants each and every one to come to know him. And that's the truth of the gospel. So as we have God's vision for things, we will be able to look beyond the externals of our circumstances and see God greater than all the obstacles we come up against. And it doesn't look like it at times. Our obstacles can be overcoming, and we can be really concerned. As we see God's vision, we need to be determined to see it through to the end. Whatever that vision is, whether that vision is a job, whether that vision is a relationship, whether that vision is reaching out to somebody. But, you know, whatever the vision is, we need the determination for the Christian is faith for the long haul. It's faith for the long haul. You've heard of long-haul truck drivers? They can't just go, well, you know, when I worked for that local company, we only drove like 100 kilometers. No, they need to drive the long haul. We got to go, oh yeah, I had faith for that little thing. No, we need the faith for the long haul. Because we're not here for a short time or a good time. We're here for the long haul with God. And we need that faith to see that vision come to pass. We need it is disciplining ourselves to remain consistent regardless of the obstacles we encounter. It's knowing that God will bring to pass what he has shown us as a vision for our lives, no matter what the obstacles or how long it takes. I mean, a good illustration of this in the Bible, we could look at Daniel. I mean, he was taken from his homeland and taken to Babylon and captured there. He was placed as a slave, as it were, he was placed under the king, not really as a slave, as a servant to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar. And because he was in that position, he had the rights, lots of rights. He could ask for anything he wanted. They could eat anything. Yet Daniel determined not to defile himself, even though the pagan influence around him was so great. I mean, I'm sure those around him said, "Daniel, why are you eating vegetables? There's steak. There's prime rib. You can have it all as one of the king's servants." But Daniel had decided and believed that God's vision for him was to eat vegetables. And he did it for the long haul. Daniel prayed for the long haul. The people around Daniel wanted him to stop praying. But Daniel continued to pray, even though the obstacle was there and that it could mean death for him. He didn't stop praying. We can have all the godly visions and dreams we need, but if we don't have the determination to see it through, they might not come to anything. I mean, if Myrtle had stopped at 8 years, that lady might never have got saved. If Thomas Edison had stopped at 999 tries, the light bulb, we might be still using gas light bulbs, lamps. I guess gas aren't light bulbs. Let's take some time to go back and look at Joshua and Caleb. That's who we talked about last week. Last week we saw that God's vision for them was to take the promised land. And Moses has sent out the 12 spies, and out of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. The other 10 came back with a report that brought fear into the hearts of the Israelites. But Joshua and Caleb believed that God had given them a vision to take the land. They had faith to believe that they could. The others saw giants and put fear into the people. Unfortunately, the other 10, the bad report got out, and the people believed the fear. Joshua and Caleb believed God would give them the victory, while the 10 believed it was not possible. We read last week in Numbers 14, in verse 9, the vision that God had given Joshua and Caleb. "Only do not rebel against the Lord," it says, "and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord has done this. Do not be afraid of them." The nation was swayed by the unfavorable report, and they turned. In fact, they turned so harshly that they were going to stone Joshua and Caleb. I think maybe at that time I would have gone, "You know what? Maybe I had a vision, but maybe not. You're going to stone me. Maybe I'll join the majority and just go along." But that's not what happened with Joshua and Caleb. And we realize that, and as we read on, we realize that Joshua and Caleb don't get stoned because God steps in. God is angry with the nation because he wanted to give them the promised land and they didn't believe and trust in him. So God steps in, and he wants to wipe out the nation. He wants to wipe them all out. He says to Moses, "Step back, you and Joshua and Caleb, and I'm just going to wipe out the nation, and I'll start a new nation through you." And Moses falls on his face and intercedes for the people. So God relents and changes the judgment. So he tells Moses that this is what's going to happen. The people are going to turn around and go back into the desert. And for 40 years, they will wander in the desert, and those who are 20 years and over that are in the majority will die in the desert. Listen to Numbers chapter 14, verses 30 to 32. "Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken plunder, I will bring them into the land to enjoy the land you have rejected. It's kind of interesting. The two men that the majority wanted to stone are the two that are able to go into the land. And the reason the majority didn't want to go into the land because they thought they would get defeated and their children would become captives. And now their children are able to go into the land and enjoy it. So the older generation passes away. But let's move ahead 45 years from that time when they were first going to step into the land. 45 years later, when the older generation has passed on, the younger generation follows God and moves forward with God and is victorious, and they take the land of Canaan. The land is divided among the 12 tribes. And listen to Caleb. We're talking 45 years later. Listen, Caleb says in Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 to 12, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction, instead of sort of like according to his vision. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Since that time, he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out as he said. How many remember who the Anakites were? They were the giants, weren't they? They were the giants that lived in the hill country. God has given Caleb a vision of taking the land 45 years prior, and he still has God's vision in his heart. He hasn't said, well, we've been wandering around in the desert for 45 years, and all my buddies have died, and I'm 85 years old now. What good is that? He still has the same vision that God placed in his heart. He has the determination to continue on. Caleb becomes victorious, and he takes the land that God had promised him. Caleb's faith and courage never wavers for 45 years. It doesn't matter the obstacles. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter his age. It doesn't matter that there are giants in the land. I mean, if the giants were there when I was 40 and now I'm 85, the giants must be bigger because we lose height, right, when we get older. So my wife keeps telling me. But you know, the inhabitants were giants, but his God was bigger. Years had gone by, but his God holds eternity and is faithful to his promise. Caleb was a man of vision and determination. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua had a vision. Joshua's vision was to be the leader of the people. That's what God called him to be, to lead the people and to take Moses' place. And Joshua's vision has not changed. He still desires what God has for him. Listen to Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 to 8. Be very strong. This is Joshua talking. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you must hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. Joshua is a senior now. He's old. He's in his 80s as well. And he stands out as an example of one who holds fast to God, who one who's not wavering from one side to the other. He has a vision from God, and he's holding to it. Listen to Joshua in the end. Joshua declares in 24, verses 14 to 15, "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Sounds like a pretty steadfast guy to me. Sounds like somebody who has a vision of God and has held on to it to the very end. He's seeing it accomplished in his life. It doesn't sound like Joshua is one who's turning from the vision. He has taken the land and encourages the Israelites to be steadfast and faithful to God alone. Joshua and Caleb were men who walked in God's vision for their lives, as well as God's vision for the nation of Israel. They were men who had the determination. They were men who had faith for the long haul to see those visions through to the end. So again, today I ask, has God placed a vision in your life? A vision for whatever? A vision to get past an addiction? A vision to build a relationship? A vision to reach out to somebody? How long have you held on to that vision? Is there been times when you've just said, "It's too long and it's too hard, God. I can't do it anymore"? Are the giants saying, "Throw in the towel, give up"? Why serve God? Because is his vision ever going to come to pass? We could talk to people like about people like Abraham, who had a vision of taking the promised land, and he died before it came to happen. God had given him and said, "This is what's going to happen. Your descendants are going to take the promised land." But Abraham never gave up. The determination. We need to allow determination to fill God's vision in our hearts. Determination. Because as we do, we will see the vision come to pass. We will continue to move forward. May we continually have the determination to see the vision God has given come to fulfillment, no matter what the obstacles, whether it's time, whether it's giants, no matter what it is, we need to continue to follow God's vision. God is faithful. We follow him.